Welcome to the podcast series, Marketing 2.0, Conversations with Marketing Leaders. My name is Eric Vidal. I manage advertising and new media at WebEx Communications, a Cisco company. And I have Chris Peterson, the president and CEO of Chautauqua Communications, a boutique ad agency in San Francisco.
Hey, Eric.
How are you, Chris?
Good.
And I cringe when I say advertising. My apologies. I think you are a communications company. Is that
Thank
correct?
I
have Chris on the call today because he was the first guest of our podcast series yesterday, and the conversation was so interesting. I wanted to do a follow-up to that. So having said that, Chris, we hit on some interesting topics about what Marketing 2.0 is, and my interpretation was Marketing 2.0 is really a shift. There's a shift going on, some major changes in marketing. What that is, you know, everyone has their own opinion. I know that you mentioned that some of that is drawn out by what's going on with Web 2.0 technologies, and I agree, but I think this shift has dramatic implications for how marketing gets created, distributed, consumed, and responded to.
Absolutely. It really starts with content and not key messages.
Okay.
There has to be a strategy in place to fuel a decision rather than forcing a decision with a message. And I think that's fundamentally the big change, and it has huge implications for process, skill set, and deliverables.
Okay, great. So in our first conversation we talked about how the client works with the ad agency to make them have a shift or be ahead of this shift, right? Because I'll be honest with you, most of the ad agencies I know, they don't really they're not really embracing, I think, this movement. They, you know, and I'm generalizing here, but a lot of the ad agencies that I know of buy media still the traditional way.
Yeah, well, it's a very difficult change for an agency to make. I mean, and it is the agency's job to make the change. I mean, agencies are the communications consultants to their clients, and it's up to the agencies to really help lead the client into the world where they need to be as a result of all the changes taking place with Web 2.0 and now Marketing 2.0. And what that means is fairly dramatic change to the agency in terms of who the people are in the agency and how they plan and buy media and what even the core deliverables are. And certainly some are doing a very good job in changing, but a lot of them really are just kind of hoping they can keep doing what they're doing.
Do you want to name me some that are in that second category?
No.
I might. If we stay on this call long enough, I just might. But, you know, so the other day I was speaking to some of my colleagues in the industry, and I was speaking to three other marketing people at B2B companies. Actually, they're all high-tech companies. And we were talking about how ad agencies are really slow to adopt this, and we all had the same experience, and we really have to push the agency, where it's funny because we would expect it to be the other way around, where the agency would come to us with ideas or be consulting us on new ways to engage with customers. And so that's kind of funny to me.
Yeah, well,
have you heard anything similar? I mean, are you experiencing
I spent a number of years in, you know, one of the big public agencies, and what struck me, which really kind of blew me away, was how as much as agencies can be perceived as kind of creative and innovative when it comes to idea generation, they are extremely conservative when it comes to process and how they get their work done. Agencies have revolved around a repeatable process that's basically been in place a long, long time, and breaking that process down and getting new people to the table is actually a very difficult thing to do. You know, it has implications for turning over portions of management team and big parts of the agency.
But what do you mean new people to the table? You mean non-copywriters, non-designers?
Yeah, if you see a shift, if you agree that there's a shift from messages to content, then you've got to see a shift of copywriting to editorial, and you know you've got to take a look at how art direction is executed. You've got to look at, you know, the core deliverables. You know, it's like, well, forget about the print ad and the TV spot and everything else. Start with the content and think about films and podcasts and custom editorial and gaming and online entertainment, and then go and promote that and distribute that online. And you know, and when you promote it, you just get out of the way of that content. You don't concept around it. You know, you basically push it out there and talk about it, but you don't get in the way of it.
So, I mean, to me, that seems like a big challenge for a large traditional agency, or any agency for that matter, because you're going after a different set of staff or a different set of talent.
That's right. That's right.
And so, but I mean, how do you mix that up? Do you drop everyone and bring these new people in, or I mean, what's the mix? I mean, I know there's no magic number, but what?
Well, I mean, I think that's what agencies are sorting out right now. I mean, I made the decision to build something from the ground up because I thought that would fundamentally address what's going on. There are certainly agencies out there that are making pretty big changes to adapt to this new world, and there's some good work being done. But it's just I think it's a small percentage overall of agencies. I don't think it's most, because you kind of keep hearing the same names over and over when someone talks about this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for that matter, what about the publishing industry, right? I mean, when I go to magazines and try to advertise or try to, you know, I look at them now as more like co-marketing partners, and I don't want to buy traditional advertising anymore. But and there's a handful, and I mean a handful of magazines out there that understand that and will customize packages that leverages marketing 2.0 type of programs or social media or something that's more engaging. I don't want the off-the-shelf print ads anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want something that's more online and interactive. But like I said, I only see a few. What's going on that side of the world?
Well, publishers are absolutely scrambling to make adjustments as well. And you know, you see it in the news all the time, and you see it. They're scrambling because they realize that the valuation of their organizations is only going to go down if they don't respond to all of this. And a big part of that response is how do you develop content in concert with an advertiser or marketer in a way that is also transparent to the customer or to the consumer or business person? How do you do it in a way that's very real, that is credible, yet still leverages the talent of the publisher, while also, you know, furthering the business objectives of the advertiser? And that's kind of the $64,000 question. And the smarter people are experimenting with all kinds of different custom packages that you're alluding to. And again, it's sort of multiple variations on advertorials, but it goes far, far beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, with my experience, I've noticed the IT sites are a little ahead of the game, right? Companies like Ziff Davis or, mm-hmm. or CNET or, you know, InfoWorld's, you know, trying to do some interesting things over there. So it's funny. I see the IT sites and some of the marketing sites out ahead of others, where you have these traditional business sites or business newspapers. I mean, like the Wall Street Journal, where to me it seems like they're just they're not reacting as quickly.
Yeah, it really depends on how entrepreneurial their culture is, I think. You know, and some will respond and some won't.
So if I'm a marketing person out there and I'm listening to this and I'm looking to start some of these programs, how can I measure program performance for social media or marketing 2.0 initiative?
Well, in the end, you know, I think the measurement piece is potentially more complex, because the fact is, when you move toward fueling a decision with content, you know, it becomes more organic and it gets a little more messy. But that doesn't mean it's impossible to measure, because at the end of the day, organizations have very clear business objectives they need to hit, whether it's sales or sales leads or driving people to retail. And in the end, that is ultimately going to be the measurement. What is my cost per lead? What is my cost per sale in terms of whether or not this works? So now the question becomes, can you measure it down to absolutely every tactic? And the answer is no, you can't in some cases. But in a lot of other cases, you can. If you're in the business of creating content instead of messages, and you then move toward promoting that content using traditional media, you know, you're not creating ads, you're basically promoting content, then you can measure the interactions with that content, and you can measure what people do as a result of that interaction. So it's not impossible, but it's certainly not perfect.
Yeah, I'll give one example of where we've had some success. With online banners, we've really moved away from assertive messages, and we've led with content, and some of the content pieces have been white papers or third-party reports, videos that go in detail about how they use the technology to accelerate their business. We use podcasts as well. But we notice more people click on the banner, more people interact with the content and stay on a little longer, whether you know it's a video or what have you. So we also find out more people fill out lead forms or ask for information after that, because I feel that these people are trusting us because we're providing content. We're not trying to ask for the sale. So it's almost like the more or the less we sell, the more people want us. And it seems like it's vice versa as well. So.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting point because I think a key concept here is allowing people to draw their own conclusion rather than forcing a conclusion on them. And I think culturally, that's the shift that's taking place.
Yeah.
People are becoming so empowered to sort things out on their own that when they're told an answer, you know, there's this natural resistance. Like, well, you may say that, but I'm going to go sort it out. I'm going to go ask my friends, or I'm going to go online and do this, and then I'm going to go influence a lot more people about that decision.
Yes, and I think some of our early data over the last 6 to 12 months has shown that. Chris, give me a couple other examples. I mentioned how my organization we leverage some of that content in banners. Give me a couple other examples so our audience can walk away with knowing maybe how to implement a marketing 2.0 initiative or really find a new way to engage with customers.
Yeah, well, a couple of quick examples. I mean, the first organization we ever worked with was a little family entertainment park down in Austin, Texas that was owned by Forklift Brands here in San Francisco, the same organization that owns Boudin Bakery and a number of other brands. And we looked at this little family entertainment park. It's basically, you know, one of those glorified, go-kart tracks and putt-putt golf courses. And they brought us in to, you know, increase the number of people coming to their park. And we said, okay, well, let's start with a really simple documentary film about the park and have customers talk about how much fun it is and have the guy who runs the place just talk about how much fun he has and his kids there. And this little 2 or 3 minute documentary, which cost very little to produce, then became placed not only on their website but also in online units and on entertainment research sites in Austin, Texas. And when we placed it in conjunction with new content areas that we asked these sites to develop for family entertainment, we found that the response was just phenomenally higher than a traditional, you know, unit or ad that would say, here's Austin's Park and here's why we're great, hope you come. Instead, we gave them this little 2 or 3 minute piece of content that was very friendly and open and honest and credible, and that's what got the traction. Another example, in our work with Microsoft, we took one of their key business white papers about their hosted email services and turned it into a wiki, and then hired a technology journalist, and with full disclosure, went on to a lot of IT message boards and blogs and invited people to come edit this thing. And what, in effect, we were doing was opening up kind of almost taking a piece of, like a core piece of collateral, turning it into a wiki for Microsoft so that the market could actually help shape how Microsoft even talked about the services, which was really interesting. And we had thousands of people coming to this thing and looking at it and editing it and playing with it. And it was a great way to engage the audience on a relatively small scale. This was not a huge assignment. It was just a very interesting way to invite the conversation in from Microsoft.
That sounds great. Very interactive too, right?
Absolutely.
Hey, Chris, before you take off, I want to, since I have you on the phone, let me ask you a couple of questions here, rapid-fire ones, if you will. You know, if there's marketing 2.0, if that's what we're calling this, let's go back to marketing 1.0. What are one or two things that you hate or, let's say, heavily dislike about marketing 1.0?
Well, it has to be the hype associated with marketing 1.0. I feel like I am unlearning everything I learned over the last 20 years. I am basically trying to reinvent what I'm doing as a marketer, and which is a lot of fun. For some people, that's kind of scary, but for me, that's a lot of fun. And with 1.0, it's that association with overstatement, with hype, with saying things that are just, you know, really kind of border on lying because you've taken the single compelling message and just amped it so far that it's just not credible.
What one thing should somebody look out for when trying to implement some of these new initiatives like a marketing 2.0 or a social media type initiative into their marketing mix?
Well, the one thing I always come back to is that when I'm evaluating content for a client, I look at I look at the piece of content, and I have in mind who the audience is, and then I think, okay, if that piece of content were on TV in some shape or form, is that a channel that I would watch? Is that a show that I would watch, whether it's a podcast or a custom piece of editorial or a film? Is that piece of content so interesting and compelling that it will get traction in the market and at the same time still be, you know, credible, authentic, ideally third-party, or entertaining? And that's the filter that we now have to think about. It's not like how great is the creative based on some incredible insight. It's how great is the piece of content that's really going to get people interacting with my brand.
Yeah. So if you're a marketing person inside a company, whether it's B2B or B2C, I asked you this question before we started, so I already know what the answer is. And I asked you, you know, how do you recommend maybe trying one of these initiatives when some of your colleagues may or have already kind of pushed back a little bit and were naysayers? And I'll go ahead and answer this for you, but you said just do it and beg for forgiveness later.
That is the answer. I mean, if you get a lot of pushback, you just got to go for it and believe in it, because
yeah,
it will work.
Yeah, and that's, you know, when I was talking with some of my colleagues in the high-tech industry, a few of us had done the same thing. So that's why I laugh at that. And I'll end on that. And, Chris, listen, thank you for your time. And once again, this is Chris Peterson with Chautauqua Communications visiting us on the Marketing 2.0 channel. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you, Eric.